Well, it's another incredibly uplifting scripture today, isn't it? We were talking about it before in our staff gathering this morning, and we couldn't come up with a good way to talk to children about this scripture. This scripture is one that I feel like a lot of people read a lot more into than maybe is really there, trying to make Jesus sound really controlling and destructive, and then some people tend to not see what's really important in these words, or maybe I should say what I think is really important in these words. The scripture begins identifying us as disciples of Christ, making sure we understand that we can't expect life to be easier for us than it was for our teacher, our master. And while that seems a little harsh, remember, no one really knew yet what Jesus was headed for. They had seen difficulties Jesus had had in different places, but they were not yet at a time where Jesus is actually in danger. I believe the important thing for us to hear in this opening passage is that Jesus is our teacher and our master. It doesn't sound fun to think of ourselves as slaves, does it? Students, okay, we can be happy with that. But slave doesn't sound good, does it? I really let myself sit with that this week. Student and slave. It was great to think about the fact that Jesus truly had walked this journey, known the difficulties of living on this earth, lived in pain, lived in joy. And to think about learning from someone who knew, who had been here, who had seen life and experienced the same things that we do. But then I had to think about what it was about a slave that made me so uncomfortable. I know partly it's because of what we've read and witnessed in our world. The slave has all control removed. They literally are owned by another person. Therefore, they have no say over their own lives. That is certainly not what we want to experience, is it? We, especially living here in this country, we do everything in our power to assure that everyone that we know don't have to be owned by someone else. We hear about women and children being taken and sold into slavery, and it just makes us want to do whatever is in our power to make it go away, to make it stop, to give people their freedom. And yet, here we are talking about willingly allowing Christ to be our master, to willingly give up control of ourselves and allow ourselves to be owned by God. I do wonder if the very fact that we speak so much about freedom and live in a place called free, if that's why following Christ has become less and less common. Does the idea of remaining free cause us not to want to follow Christ? We want freedom. God has promised from the very beginning freedom of choice. So do we feel like if we choose God, we're choosing slavery? I think our scripture today tells us that we choose to be slaves to something, whether that be God or the world. It's important for us to think very carefully about the relationship of master and slave. Our experience in this world is that the master thinks highly of himself, putting himself and his family first, eating the best, drinking the best, wearing the best, living the best. The slave is not thought highly of, and the slave eats what's left, drinks what's left, wears the plainest, lives in the shack. Is it even possible for us to compare that type of master with the type of master God is for us? Has God not given us the very best of everything? Prepared a beautiful world for us to live in, provided food and water to sustain the world if we take care of it. Loved us enough to send his son into the world to save the world, and yet still we live afraid, not trusting God with our very lives. I love being in the water. I always have. One of my favorite things to see this time of year at the pool is when a child is standing on the side of the pool wanting so desperately to jump off the side of the pool into the loving arms of their parent. Most of the time you can watch the child and you can see in their eyes the mixed emotion. They want to trust their parents to catch them. They know their parents would never, ever do anything to harm them. They hear their parents say over and over, "Go ahead, I'll catch you. I won't let you be hurt." And they get right up to the edge and they want to do it, but they hesitate. They're so scared. And then finally, after sometimes an amazing amount of persuading, they jump and mom and dad catch them. And the smile comes on their face and they laugh and they go up the stairs and they go around and they want to do it again. And they jump again and they jump again and they jump again and they jump again. Their fear is gone and they trust. I can't watch that without thinking about us with God. We know how God loves us. We see it in all that was created for us. We see it in the way that God sent Jesus for us, knowing that he would live a life that would lead him to ridicule, that he would be spoken about, that he would be accused and ultimately sent to die on a cross. We know we're loved. We see it in the people around us who show us love and compassion. We know through the love of Christ that God would not want one thing to harm us. Yes, yet we stand on the side, afraid to allow ourselves to totally jump. Afraid to proclaim God's word from the housetop. What is it that we fear? Is it that someone will ridicule us? Is it that we might be spoken about or accused, or that we might actually have to take up our cross and follow? This scripture is often referred to as the scripture where Jesus tells us to give up our family and take up our swords. Oftentimes, people who want to be in control quote this scripture out of context and call people to walk away from their families. I don't believe in any way that that's what Jesus was telling us to do today. I believe that there are so many things in this world that we hold on to as excuses for not putting Christ first. Maybe that excuse is family. Or maybe it's work or things that you enjoy that you don't want to give up. Maybe it's popularity or friends you're afraid will not want you to be around. Maybe, again, it's just not wanting to be tied to something that makes you feel out of control. But when we allow the things of this world to grab hold of us, then we're like that child on the side of the pool, that instead of jumping into the pool, we're holding on to a pole, and we're not even getting close to the edge. We let the fear control us rather than the God who has proven time and time again that we are loved. We are loved completely. The one thing that we can be sure of is that God's message and love and acceptance will live on. Look at how many times through history groups have tried to destroy it, but God's love continues today, mostly because people decide to take that leap of faith. And they decide to take God's love to the housetop, or maybe just the group that they live in. I heard on the news this morning about a woman in, I think, California, who began writing words of encouragement on little cards about the size of our touch cards. She would write a big word on one side, love or hope or peace or endurance. And on the back, she would write some kind of note to encourage people. And she began to just take them and place them. Maybe she would tape them on the gas pump. Or maybe she would tape them on a shelf at the library. Or on the shelf at the grocery store. In a restaurant. On a pole walking down the street sidewalk. People began to find them and read them. And it began to make a big difference. Then people began to write other notes and leave them everywhere. This woman has been called from states and cities all over the U.S. saying, will you help us start this? Will you help us leave encouraging words for others? A word of hope or peace or love. Her message began to spread, and people all over the world have been changed. I thought about that as I came in today and thought if that simple message from a total stranger spread so easily, how easily could the message of Christ's love for us spread if only we trust enough in our Master, our Teacher, to plunge in and spread the good news. May we be God's instruments today. May we choose God as our Master, as our Teacher, as opposed to selecting the world. May we be God's instruments today and tomorrow and day after that and forever. Amen and amen.